Whether you are looking for a new Toyota or pre-owned vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota has something for everyone. Every vehicle comes with a Luther Advantage. 10 cents off fuel and car wash discounts at holiday stations, Luther Advantage warranty, and 5-day return policy on pre-owned vehicles. Located just 5 minutes west of downtown Minneapolis, off 394 and General Mills Boulevard. And they're also hiring. Want to join the team but don't know where to start? Visit RudyLutherToyota.com today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Preps Today with John Millay. The voice you're hearing is John Millay. Normally, you'd be hearing our friend Jim Suhan to kick this thing off, but he's not available today. That poor guy has been forced to travel to Augusta this week and cover the Masters. So thoughts and prayers to Jim with a duty like that, although the weather here is probably as good as it is down there. Quickly want to thank our sponsors here on the Preps Today with John Millay and the Talk North Network, Bonfie, Rudy Luther Toyota, and we'll talk a little bit about our good friends at Pizza Barn in Princeton in just a bit. With Jim absent, we've got a special guest. It's a guy I've known for a while, a good guy. Young guy, younger than me. I've got socks older than Jace Frederick from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Jace covers high school sports and does a lot of other things for the paper over there in St. Paul. Timberwolves coverage, that's among his main responsibilities. Jace is what I think of Jace as this, you know, a real talented young member of the media. And as an old timer, it does my heart good to see somebody like Jace doing such good work. Jace, how you doing today?
Oh, stop. Well, I'm blushing now.
So that's what we do. That's what we yeah, there's no other prizes or parting gifts. I just get to make you blush. So way to go.
Paid in compliments, I'll take it.
There you go. Hey, also take a minute, just tell us about yourself, where you're from, you know, how long you've been doing this job and what you enjoy about your job, Jace.
First off, I can't believe like this is John Millay should be hosting Preps Today with John Millay.
Yeah, right? it's a weird world. After the pandemic, we'll figure that out.
Yeah, there you go. yeah, you know, I've worked at the Pioneer Press since 2015, and I started out almost primarily on preps, and then the Timberwolves beat opened up, and probably 2016. So then I started doing both, and that's kind of been what it largely is at the paper. Like I covered the preps, I covered Timberwolves, and then like anything else that pops up, it's kind of all hands on deck at all times there.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's fun. It's something new every day, something different to cover. That's kind of covering preps in general. Is you don't know right. If you're going to be at a softball practice this day, baseball game the next day. There's always something different to cover, and the state tournaments you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, trying to figure out where you're supposed to be next. But I really enjoy it. It's fun talking to the kids. Gotten to know quite a few of the coaches really well over the years, and a lot of good people to cover, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. That's the thing about high school sports, especially. And I covered the Timberwolves years ago and all the pro teams in town. And with high school sports, it's the people you get to hang out with, you get to know. It's just fantastic. Talking about people we know, Jalen Suggs and his Gonzaga team. You know, Jalen had the big three-pointer to beat UCLA in the semifinals on Saturday. They didn't have quite as much luck against Baylor last night. We're talking here Tuesday morning. The Baylor Bears really steamrolled Gonzaga. And Jace, you had a Timberwolves game, and I know you wanted to see some of that. How did you handle Monday night's action? There was a lot happening.
Here's what I always say to sports reporters, like, or people who want to be sports reporters. It's like, you probably want to get into it because you love sports. And I always say, like, if you're a sports reporter, so you know, a lot of times you're not watching the sport you want to watch. It's not like, it's not the one that you like. The game of the night is probably not the thing you're covering. For me, like the Timberwolves, and it was D'Angelo Russell's first game back, so it was interesting anyway. And the game was at 6, so they kind of did us a favor there.
Yeah.
But I covered the game remotely. I've done that a lot. I probably cover like half the games at Target Center. Covered this one remotely, but it was the first game back with fans. So you cover that, you do the post game press conferences, wrote the story, done by like 9:45, 10 o'clock. Anyway, by the time I was done, it was like 5 minutes into the second half. And I mean, so I got to watch the end of the game, but I think the direction of the game was pretty well decided by that point.
Apparently so. I missed the first half because I was watching PBS, and I'm a big Ken Burns fan, and he started his three-part, six-hour documentary about Ernest Hemingway. And this is how much the world has changed. when I was at the Star Tribune, I've been gone for 11 years with the high school league now. But at some point before I left, and this was a few years before I left, Ken Burns came to the Star Tribune and spoke to anybody in the newspaper who wanted to hear him speak in a big conference room. And that was when his World War II documentary was about to come out. And it focused on just a small number of people from around the country. One was a guy from Laverne, Minnesota. So Ken was headed to Laverne for a premiere. And here's, 40 people in the Star Tribune newsroom listening to Ken Burns talk about his work and doing, a Q&A. It was really cool. So I feel, not that I'm tight with Ken Burns, but he just, nobody does it better. And I don't know tons about Hemingway, but I sure learned a lot in the first 2 hours last night. And then I flipped it over to the basketball. It was halftime. And I think it was a 10-point lead at that point, and I hung through the rest of the way. So yeah, college basketball is over. We're still playing high school basketball. That's not usually the case. We'll get to that shortly here. First, let's take a minute and thank our friends, our sponsors from Bonfi.
A lot of homeowners do not know that the sewer line that runs from the house underneath the front yard is the homeowner's responsibility until it connects to the city sewer. A sewer line can get clogged by tree roots, or the sewer line can crack or break or collapse because it's old or the ground shifts over time. If the sewer line gets really clogged, it can cause sewage to back up into a home, and you do not want that. Some signs you might have a sewer line issue: toilets that gurgle, lower level showers and tubs that always drain slowly, laundry tubs that back up, a floor drain on the lower level that regularly backs up or drains slowly. Bonfi does drain and sewer services to help get things flowing again and make sure your sewer line gets taken care of. Bonfi can repair or replace your sewer line, or they can put a new liner inside of your old sewer pipe, making it like new again. If you have a sewer or drain problem, better call Bonfi. Save $150 off an intensive sewer line cleaning when you tell the folks at Bonfi you heard about it from John Krasinski.
Okay, Jace, let's pick it up. Let's look back a week to the state hockey tournaments. Very strange, we have girls and boys tournaments together with hockey and basketball. And our state champs this year in hockey are the Proctor Hermantown girls, Gentry Academy boys in Class A, and the Edina girls and Eden Prairie boys in Double A. And it's a pandemic, and we certainly saw that at the hockey tournament. The Hermantown and Hill Murray boys teams had COVID issues. The Centennial girls, and of those, Hermantown was the only team that played. They brought mostly JV boys to play and lost to Dodge County in the opening round. It was a weird tournament, mostly for that reason, I think. Limited fans at the XL Center, but again, what's not weird in this pandemic age? So, Jace, kind of give us your takeaways from a quite different kind of a state hockey tournament.
I think we saw, it was the risks, I guess, of playing in a pandemic, right? Everybody just wanted everyone to play, and I agreed, it's great for the kids to play, and they need to be able to do stuff athletically, but it was kind of one of the risks was we're going to play, we're going to have these state tournaments and whatnot, but we don't know what's going to happen if a kid on your team gets COVID the week of or whatever. And that's what happened to the Centennial girls team, is they had a positive COVID case and all of a sudden they couldn't compete in the state tournament. And I can't think of a much worse way for your season to end than that. And it happened in sections with teams too, ending prematurely and not knowing how it would have ended. And especially if that's how your high school career ends, it's awful, So you feel really bad for those situations. You feel just as bad for Hermantown, Hill Murray. Yeah, I think sure Lakeville North girls basketball, this happened too, where a past opponent got it. And then there's contact tracing and kind of the things in place say that you're out, and that's tough. So that's really hard. But I also thought you talked about the crowd, and there were a couple really phenomenal games at the state tournament this last week here. The Proctor Hermantown Gentry Academy girls Class A final double overtime was phenomenal. The Eden Prairie played two phenomenal games. That Maple Grove 6-5 double overtime, that was an instant classic, was the final with Lakeville South. And it would have been electric in the building. The X would have been rocking, and those are kind of those big moments. And yet it was still great, and the intensity was still there. I could still feel it in my body. This is crazy. It wasn't quite as loud or whatnot as it maybe usually is.
Yeah, there's nothing like that state hockey tournament when that place is full. Maybe one of my favorite nights of the year is the Friday night AA boys semifinals when, you know, with turnover in and out of the building, we've had 21,000 people in that building some of those Friday nights, and then championship games on Saturday. It's just phenomenal. And that, you know, the roof gets blown off the place. We didn't have anything like that. The people that were there were loud, but yeah, I thought it was interesting. You know, we talked about COVID. I'm just seeing now that the NCAA men's Frozen Four is this week, and UMass, the only non-Minnesota team in the Frozen Four, their top scorer and their number one goalie, they're out with COVID. So, I mean, this is happening everywhere. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised. We always are, but you know, I've known about, I don't know how many high school teams in winter sports that were knocked out by COVID for a length of time. And like you said, the timing's the worst when it's the end of the year. You're knocked out of a section game, or you get to state and you can't play. And I'm a little bit surprised. Let's transition to the state basketball tournament here, which is starting today. I'm a little bit surprised we haven't had any basketball teams knocked out by COVID. I'm not saying we won't before the week is out, but if we can get through, you know, 5 days of basketball at the Target Center and every game is played and every team's at full strength, I think that'd be terrific. That'd be a great way to end the winter season here. So, like I said, we're talking on Tuesday morning, and the state semifinals are just getting rolling down there. The first game here, I'm looking. Today it's all girls. Girls semifinals. We'll start with the 1A's. Belgrade, Brutinel, Rosa, and Sleepy Eye St. Mary's are just underway. And we'll have the 2A, the 3A girls semifinals. Wednesday, we'll start with 1A boys and then 2A boys, and then finish the semifinals Wednesday night with the 4A girls. And then semifinals continue Thursday, and then championship games Friday. Four girls on Friday, four boys on Saturday. Again, a different kind of a setup. And it's just different this year. You know, hockey, at least all the quarterfinals were at the X, which is normal. With basketball here, as you know, Jace, the quarterfinals were held around the state and around the metro at schools. And now we're into Target Center with the girls and boys tournaments together. And one thing we haven't talked about from a media perspective is we are not allowed to do any interviews at these games. There are no post-game media sessions. So everybody's doing it over the phone after games. And I basically haven't done that. With you know, traditional media calling coaches, I don't want to add to that load for the coaches. So I'm trying to do other kinds of stories. But what's the challenge been there, Jace, when you go to the X or your Target Center for these tournaments and you're not allowed to talk to anybody? It's a pod group. The teams will kind of stay in their pods other than when they're competing, and the fans are in pods. The media, we're kind of a pod, and you just don't have that opportunity to interview people. And I know with the Timberwolves, you've covered games remotely, and they do post-game Zooms and things. But what's that been like for you at the high school events?
Challenging. And there's just kind of the uncertainty of, you can do everything right ahead of time. You can, you know, email a coach, say, hey, can I get your phone number? And I'm going to call you after the game so you know. And maybe you get like an athlete's phone number as well and say, hey, I'm going to call you after the game. Yeah. And that's all well and good. And they say, yep, sounds good. But if you have 30 minutes to your deadline is when the game ends, well, their primary mission right after the game is like any celebration or whatever. Yeah. And that was especially a problem after the championship games. But then it's like, okay, you have 15 minutes to get out and get on your bus and get on your way.
Right.
And so they're trying to get all that put together. And then you might text them again, you might call them, but they're not even looking at their phone at this point. And their phone calls, I mean, like, they're getting congratulatory calls, congratulatory texts, maybe condolences, you know, if it's a losing team, it's the same thing either way. And now, like, they're on the bus and you have to hope that maybe then they're looking at their phone and going, oh, shoot, that's right, I'm supposed to talk to this person and I missed their call. And it worked great for some coaches and it didn't work as well for others. And like the 2A championship, as was for boys hockey, I mean, that went double overtime. We were already right. Pretty late there. but you understand it. Like, I understand that sometimes it's going to work and sometimes it's not. And like, it's not the coach's fault that in the midst of a championship celebration, they forget to call or don't think of it or whatever, or answer their phone. And getting players can be just as difficult in that spot too. So it makes coverage a little bit harder. I certainly understand it this year. I'm glad it's not the norm, for
right,
sure.
No kidding, no kidding.
Not knowing that you're going to have access or how much access you're going to get to a coach and the players, you know, after they win like the state championship, whatever it is, it's challenging. You try to find ways around it, but there's just no perfect way to do it.
Yeah, and I can explain a little further to people how this is working. Normally, at the state hockey tournament, state basketball tournament, a team is going to get there early. And if there's games going on before they play, they'll sit in the stands, they'll watch, then they'll, you know, go get dressed. They'll be down in the hallways outside the locker rooms, you know, jogging, stretching, sprinting, playing hacky sack, whatever it is. They walk into the buildings now. I saw these hockey teams coming in full uniform. And, you know, they carry in their skates and their sticks and their helmets. They go to a locker room. They put on their skates. They go out and warm up. And when the game's over, they come off the ice. They go to the locker room. They take off their skates, and they are right on the bus. And it's quite the deal. I'm sure it's going to be the same here with basketball. Teams are not coming in early. They can't watch the games before theirs. They can't stick around afterwards. It's going to be get in there. You're arriving in uniform. Go warm up, go play, back on the bus, and see you later. And that's got to be a challenge, too, for teams and coaches. And this week of basketball, I'm going to mention there's also kind of a challenge for fans. These first 3 days, there's six games. And between every game, the arena has to be cleared. Fans are only allowed tickets for one game. So you can come in and watch your team, and then you got to be out, and then they're gonna disinfect the seating areas, and it's 500 fans for each game. That's the limit instituted by the Target Center. The limit was higher for hockey at the X because that's what the X decided. So I tweeted this a couple days ago, just asking fans, you know, hey, do your best here. We need everybody to hustle after the games. Your teams aren't going to hang around. They're going to leave the court and go. And because, you know, the last games are scheduled for 9 o'clock these first couple days. And you know, these things never go on time anyway. And we could be playing basketball at midnight here if we don't keep things moving. So hopefully everything will be great down there at Target Center this week. Let's thank Pizza Barn, our sponsor up in Princeton, our longtime sponsor, more than 2 years now. Last week we talked about the new Pizza Barn food truck. It's up and running. It's making appearances around Princeton and around the area. It's really cool. Great work by Jody Stay and her crew at the Pizza Barn. And breaking news, the April pizza of the month is chicken Parmesan pizza. I'm liking the sound of that. Jim and I and Brandon, we're talking about getting back up there to do another live show. So hopefully once we get through all these tournaments and the Masters, we're going to get all vaccinated. I'm getting my second vaccination here in a couple days. I'm thrilled about that. And always there are great daily specials at the Pizza Barn. And they've got dine-in delivery takeout if you're going up north or coming south on 169. Just head for downtown Princeton. You'll see the Pizza Barn. Great people there. Tell them we said hi. One story I wrote this week, kind of previewing the basketball tournament, Jace. I don't know if we talked about this while we were at hockey, but Chad Greenway is a guy everybody knows. Small town South Dakota kid, multi-sport athlete. All-American linebacker at Iowa, 11 years with the Vikings, a couple of Pro Bowls. Well, he's the dad now, and he's got a daughter. Talk about genetics. Chad and his wife, Jennifer, have four daughters. The oldest, Madden, she's a seventh grader. She's the starting point guard, the leading scorer at Providence Academy, which is playing later today, Tuesday, against New London Spicer in the state tournament. And I've gotten to know Chad over the last couple of years just by sitting with him in the stands at some basketball games and hanging out. And he's told me his first love in high school was basketball. And he initially wasn't getting Division I football offers, but he had an offer to walk on at Nebraska and play basketball. And that's probably where he was headed until Iowa came in with a full ride to play football for a kid who played eight-man football in South Dakota. And I'll tell you what, as much as he knows about football, he may know more about basketball. Just sitting with Chad at games, he's breaking it down. He knows everything. He understands the strategies the coaches are trying to employ. He's thinking, you know, six moves ahead, really a smart basketball mind. And I've said before, it wouldn't surprise me a bit if Chad Greenway someday's a head high school basketball coach, because he really understands the game. He loves the game. And Madden Greenway, starting point guard, Providence Academy, averaging more than 20 a game. I have not seen that team play. So if you go to John's Journal, go to mshsl.org, scroll down, you'll see John's Journal, a story about Chad Greenway. There's a picture there that Chad provided of the family. Really a cool story, really a good guy, and we'll see what happens this week. And let's close it out here, Jace. Spring sports. We're in full swing now. Lacrosse practices started this week. That's the last of the spring sports to get going. We had a little rain here to keep the dust down. It's looking like a great spring. Are you as optimistic as I think I am, Jace, about spring sports? Basically, everything's outside. You know, the weather's great. We have certainly earned a good spring sports season because we didn't even have one last year. What do you think about the next few months?
Really optimistic. And you talked about that whole outdoors feature, and I think that's really important. It was everybody's biggest concern, I guess, about the winter, winter events, winter sports, winter state tournaments. You know, you look at like a baseball field and yeah, there's the stands and you can spread her out all the way across like the fence, yeah. the outfield, you know, like the, you can distance as much as you'd like. It's outdoors anyway. Hopefully more and more of us get vaccinated here as time goes on. I'm really optimistic about it. The weather's great to start. Yeah. So these teams can actually start when they want to start and get outdoors. So that's
which
awesome.
Which is not often the case.
No, that's the better part of, because we did they start a little bit late this year?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so that probably actually helped a little bit. It probably like, we'll probably get outdoors like the same time they maybe at best would have gotten outdoors anyway had it started on time. But I like that what the high school league did and not condensing the spring season because they lost last year. So even if the other sports finished a little later, like the spring sports, you want them to get as much time as they possibly can. And it, I don't know, it's shaping up to be pretty good and I'm excited. And I'm sure, you know, after not having played a sport for 2 years, like I can't imagine the excitement of these kids as they start practice. That must be like a euphoria. I mean, it's awesome.
To get out there and the fields are dry and the sun's shining. And yeah, I've talked to a lot of spring coaches and some kids. That's the word, euphoria, just joy, enthusiasm. I wrote something about that last week when it all started. And let me say one thing about masks. People are upset about masks, probably rightly so. And these decisions, none of these decisions on masks and crowds, all these COVID things, the high school league isn't making those decisions. We're getting them from usually the Minnesota Department of Health. And as it stands today, the Department of Health says for individual spring sports, you don't have to wear a mask. But for team sports, you do, which I'm not a scientist. I don't know that much about it. I trust the experts. But if you're standing in center field on a baseball or a softball team and you're wearing a mask, but someone lined up for the 100-yard dash next to six other kids isn't wearing them. You know, like I said, I'm not going to doubt them, but I will say that the high school league is in contact with the Department of Health, and we're urging them to just say, you know, mask mandates could be gone for all spring sports. Again, we're not making those decisions. We've made it clear that we would like to see the masks go away for outdoor spring sports. We don't, you know, we'll see what happens, but people are barking about masks. I get it. Believe me, I get it. When I go to a game, an outdoor thing, I'm going to be wearing a mask anyway, because I should be. If I work for the high school league and some kids have to wear a mask, I'm sure going to wear a mask. And, but you know, it's going to be interesting. Like we said, the weather's great. People are excited about spring sports. We're going to wrap up the winter sports here. And man, to think about the last 13 months, it's amazing. You know, just give me a little perspective on that, Jace. What your thoughts on this last goofy year and everything that's just gone haywire? What's it been like for you?
Just on the mask thing, I can understand the spring sports. If I think like the one compromise would be like in a baseball or softball dugout, if you want the kids to wear masks, great. But yeah, once they take the field, I mean, like they're spaced out plenty at that point. Yeah. But this last year, I just remember, you know, we were talking at the girls basketball state tournament last year, like plenty, you know, and we were talking about this and I was like, I don't know if they should be playing right now, you know, and those types of things as everything else was getting shut down. But I still assumed that they were going to finish out that girls basketball tournament at worst. But yeah, there were some concerns about the boys basketball tournament. And then it gets shut down that Friday morning and it's just like, oh, like this is over. And then you thought spring sports, well, they'll play some kind of spring sports. It might get pushed back a little bit, but it just kept going and it kept building and you saw how much worse this was going to get. And then I don't know at what point it was when you realized this was going to be a really long-term thing.
Yeah.
But it's been longer even than I think most of us expected. You know, I think we all thought by fall it would probably probably be fine or whatever. And even though experts were saying otherwise, but
no kidding,
I'm glad that we're getting to this point where hopefully, you know, the vaccines can fight the variants, at least with boosters or whatever it might be. And we can kind of move out of this, because even covering like prep sports over this last year, it's just stunk in that, like, you think you're going to cover a football game on Friday night and then you get a email from the AD saying, no, it's canceled. Yeah. And then you try to go to another one. It's like, oh no, we had to cancel 3 days ago, you know, and those types of things. It's been so complicated for kids. It's been complicated for administrators. It's been tough. And that's the case for everything in life, but high school sports hasn't been immune to that whatsoever. Just getting into where we don't have to be thinking quite as much about that anymore. And we can assume if there's a game scheduled, it's going to be played and, you know, and everybody's going to be available to play in it. That'll be great. So it's been a long 13 months and it's affected a lot of people in a lot of different ways.
Sure has. Well, let's thank Jace Frederick from the Pioneer Press for being our guest today. Like I said, a young guy doing great work. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Safe travels to Jim Suhan in returning from the Masters. And thanks again to our sponsors, Pizza Barn in Princeton, Bonfi, and Rudy Luther Toyota. Have a great week, everybody.